Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch my drift, as Ed called in a little earlier and said he didn't know if he was going to make it. So going solo today. And, of course, you can call in and replace that, 734-822-1600. Love to get your views and opinion on stories of the week. And if you are not going to thedailydrift.com, you should. It's the news you need to know. I put a lot of effort into putting those stories you don't find on the mainstream media on the drift. So make sure you go to thedailydrift.com and check it out. And let's take care of our sponsor this half hour. Diggett Services LLC, complete mini excavator and skid steer services. Now, Mike Kuzma, great guy. Love Mike. 248-789-7619. He's got some really cost-effective, brand-new equipment, but he'll give you great prices on it. He loves doing this kind of work, and it's a joy for him as well. So you'll get some really great prices on the projects you may have to get done around the home. Mini excavator, a treaded bobcat, so it's really cool. 248-789-7619. 248-789-7619. Okay, so Derek running solo here, which is kind of odd for me. I haven't done this in a while. I should do it more often so I don't lose my ability to work solo. But I also wanted to mention a happy birthday shout out for one of our longtime regular listeners, Joe Leonard. I think it's his birthday today, according to Facebook anyway. So, Joe, if you're out there, happy birthday to you. And we're going to talk a little bit about the election. We just had the primary on Tuesday, and lo and behold, it didn't work out as some of us would have liked it. Pat Kolbeck did not make it through the primary, unfortunately. We wish him luck, and hopefully the Lord has good plans for you, Patrick, out there. Call him to the show if you feel like it, and let us know what you're planning. But I'm sure you're probably just decompressing after all those months of hard work. So an excellent try by him to get that governor's position. And we ended up with Bill Schuette, actually, which would have been my second pick, I guess. You know, I'm not super happy about it. I'm not sure a lot of people are, but he's the guy, and so I would urge all of you to support Bill Schuette in the November election as opposed to Gretchen Whitmer, who will be the Democrat nominee. And there's a lot of talk on Facebook, a lot of crazy things going on about who the lieutenant governor picks are going to be and how that will affect the elections, and I guess we'll just have to watch and see. I've heard on the Schuette side that it could be a Candace Miller appointed or brought through the convention as his lieutenant governor. And then on Gretchen Whitmer's side, we've heard some rumors of maybe they'll go for Abdul El Sayed as her running mate. I don't know. But if you've got thoughts on either one of those, please call into the show. We'd love to hear from you. And let us know what you think. We did have some good luck. John James is a good pick, I think. I went into the polling booth debating which guy to pick for U.S. Senator, and luckily the man I picked was John James, so I was pretty happy at the end of the day. Let's take a call for, hey, it's Birthday Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what a nice, pleasant surprise. Thank you for the shout-out. I sure as heck would not have expected that.
Yeah, well, well, it's nice to be able to do that for friends, family, and listeners, and you happen to be almost all three, so it's good.
Well, you're talking about the election. I kind of wanted to extend it to the LG race.
Yeah, yeah, we'll go ahead. Because
while we still have any say whatsoever, obviously, my first choice, and you've probably seen my feed, I'm getting it from both the establishment side and the conservative side telling me to shut up, but you know me, I can't do that. Pat Kolbeck is still the obvious and first choice for LG.
Yeah, has he said anything to you? Has anyone here at the station, Derek? Has Pat been down and talked to anybody? So I don't know that Pat really even wants to do that at this point, but you never know.
He certainly says publicly he doesn't want it, but that's the role you have to play post-election and after the supposed unity event. It's not a unity event. It's a GOP establishment dictatorial conformity event.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Here's my thought. If Pat were interested, I would certainly encourage that because, you know what, when you're trying to – Schuette is lacking something that Pat has, and it's that fired-up grassroots movement on the ground, you know what I mean? But the biggest problem I think Pat had in the primary was I had a lot of friends who were conservative, were going to vote Republican. They wanted the most conservative. They didn't know Pat. And even on another radio station that I was listening to before the primary day, there were people calling into the show. They didn't know. They were just talking about Schuette Kelly. They had not really had the Colbeck name brought to them.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah. Well,
I told.
I'm going to upset some people out there. There was a whole lot of people praying for Pat, but they needed to get off their butt and open up their checkbook to Pat. Because
yeah.
I'm sorry, prayer does not buy mailers and television ads.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. It was, I think, going into a primary on the Republican side anyways, you would certainly want to advertise as much as possible on just plain old Fox News because that's what the conservative base is watching, right? And
like
those are the people that are going to come out.
John James advertised there. John James was on the show.
Did.
Hannity at one time endorsed Pat Colbeck. Hannity needed to have Colbeck on his show.
I tweeted to Sean Hannity repeatedly, always asking him, hey, give a little shout-out. We could use the help. We really need people. Because I tell you what, everybody that I told to look at Pat for governor, they called me back and they said, wow, what a great guy. And I even heard a host on another radio station say, Pat Colbeck had the best plans to fix this, 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 and this of anybody he had interviewed. Anybody. And this is one of our bigger stations in Metro Detroit. And I thought to myself, well, why didn't you have him on more often if that's the case? Because obviously I'm betting you voted for him based on that fact.
Yep.
You know, so
and Schuette only has vague generalities. He needs Pat's specifics, but it's probably a moot point because Schuette let slip a quote, I'm not ready to name her yet.
Yeah, so that's the Candace Miller one. I think that one kind of came out too. And some people are thinking, yeah, all be all and end all. I don't know, but I would think if you're looking to shore up the base and the Republican vote for Schuette, he should at least find some place for Pat. You know, I don't know what that is. You know, and I think you probably saw my statement was there's only one guy on the Republican side who's got the guts to go after Abdul El-Sayed and call him
Absolutely.
For what he is, a terrorist sponsor. You know what I mean? Because he's in with CARE. He's in with all that. And that's a fact. Don't call me a racist or a religiousist or anything else. It's a fact. Abdul Sayed has those connections. And there's only one Republican who's got the guts to stand up and say, that guy has got ties to Islamic extremism. Do you really want him as the governor or the lieutenant governor? No, absolutely not. And I was thinking to myself, and you know this, that maybe Gretchen Whitmer is going to put him in as the lieutenant governor, right? It could
I've
be her pick.
I've been saying that all over Facebook for a month before the election that would happen.
I can see both sides.
But there's three female names that I've seen floated, and frankly, they're all bad. You mentioned Candace. Candace was very viable in you know, whatever in 2010, and frankly, she should have ran for governor then and would have saved us a Rhino Rick administration. But she's just not known now. She's just not viable now. Somebody threw out the name Ruth Johnson. Oh, sure, that's what we need. An AG and a Secretary of State who both failed to follow up following the 2016 election fraud uncovered under the Jill Stein recount.
Yeah,
we don't
yeah.
need two failures on the same ticket.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody threw out Laura Cox. Well, I'm sorry, that gets the establishment hyped up again. Well, Schuette already does that. Nobody cares or remembers Laura Cox's husband and what he was.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. So anyways, we'll see. I'm not going to bag on you, Joe. You keep spouting what you think you have to because I appreciate your opinion. I think a lot of people do. And so don't let anybody shut you down. Your opinions are yours, and you're entitled to them.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend. Take care, and God bless.
You too. God bless. Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let's take a call from Ken in Livonia who wants to talk about the primary. Ken, welcome to the show.
Am I the only person that at the beginning of the primary was smart enough to know that Patrick Kobach didn't stand a chance in Hades of winning?
Man.
Well, okay, I've always considered myself to be a realist.
You are a realist.
But here's the deal. We take a look at the society we're living in today, not only here in the state of Michigan, but I'd expand it to the nation. Now, we who would describe ourselves as being constitutionalists, conservatives, especially conservative Christians, we are, excuse me, people, an extreme minority. We live in a society that says same-sex marriage is okay. The LGBTQ community is okay to have rights. Murdering babies is okay. Look at the porno industry. And I can go on and on and on and on and on. We in a society are an extreme minority. And as great of a guy that Patrick Kobach could have been, there's not a chance in heck of him winning. There's not enough people that would vote for him on the national on the bigger ballot. And unfortunately, this is just a fact. Now, an example. Now, Mark Levin has pointed out in his program. Now, there's been a lot of studies monitoring the voting habits of the politicians, and he showed that of those candidates who ran as conservatives, only 24%, based on the numbers he had, vote that way. That all these people that we keep sending into Washington, or you know, that we keep putting in that identify themselves as being conservative, 24% are voting conservative, and that's terrible. But again, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it is called being a realist, and I see where you're driving with that. But you know, we had to have faith. I had faith, and in the primary, that's what we do. We vote our conscience, right? And at the end of the primary, if our guy doesn't make it, we support the next one if we can, hopefully.
Now, for me, I looked at Kobach, analyzing everything, and I thought, okay, he would be a good choice. But I was looking at the bigger picture. That we had to beat whoever the Democrat
so who did
candidate
you pick?
Would end up.
Who did you vote for?
And so, well, at the end of the day, I plugged my nose, but I voted for Brian Kelly.
Okay, all right, well that's good. All right, Ken. Well, hold on. Let me.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just going to make your last point because I've got lines that are just knocking out. We're obviously hitting a hot spot here. So go ahead, finish your comment.
Well, there again, I only voted for Brian Kelly because I knew, looking at the three choices I had, that he was the only name that I could see, as bad as the guy is, that could possibly beat a Democrat. Yeah. Just like our current governor won the last election.
Rhino Rick, yeah. Yeah, I know. I get you on that one. All right, well, thanks, Ken. Those are great comments. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care.
Take care. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother. As much as I respect Ken and Livonia, I'll have to just disagree with them a little bit on this because we have to try. If you don't try, you can't succeed. And Pat Kobach was a great candidate, and I'm glad he ran. And I think he would make a really good lieutenant governor. But I think they're going to pick the girl to off-balance the Whitmer.
The Whitmer, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Because we have a woman in identity politics.
Yep.
But what we can do as a party, the Republicans, is get behind John James, get behind Lena Epstein, get behind some other candidate that you weren't behind because you were busy helping Pat. Now, get behind somebody else and put all your money and your effort and your time into getting another or different Republican voted into office. Do you know if Stan Groot won his election or not?
I don't. I was so busy this week with work, I didn't really have time to follow up like I wanted to. I wanted to come into the show with a list of things, but it's probably been handled anyway, so I don't know for sure. But I will say this.
Then get behind him, because he's a great candidate also for Attorney General, I believe, or Secretary of State, whichever one he was running for.
Yeah. And let's just say this to the listeners. Whatever your politics, whatever your idea was, come November, you must pick the most available winnable candidate, man. That's what it comes down to. And there are points that Ken made that are right, and there are points that you're making are right. But get behind the Republican candidate, because you know what? Any Democrat is going to take us in the wrong direction, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's how simple it is.
Yes, absolutely. And right. If we can get John James in office, that'd be great.
Okay.
So I'm going to back him. I'm going to go find him and get on his campaign.
There you go. Great call, Gary. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye.
Let's take a call from Chris in New York, and I think I know this, Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey.
Being a former podcaster, political podcaster, I know that this may be a little bit off topic, but really not, because you just mentioned that the Democrats are going to take us into the wrong direction.
You mean those socialist Democrats, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to touch on Ocasio-Cortez from New York, and how the right is playing right into her hands. I was listening to Scott Adams. I don't know if you're familiar with Scott Adams, right?
Yep.
So I was listening to him today, and he made a great point. He said, you know, with the whole Ben Shapiro argument on Twitter, Ben Shapiro wanted to debate her
Yeah, and she threw up the cat call, playing her feminist role, right?
Yeah, he basically challenged her to a debate, and she slayed him, kind of, because, you know, Scott Adams pretty much implied that we're giving her a platform, we're making her look good to her base. Right now, she's pacing and leading her base.
Yep.
So that's all she wants to do at this point in time. And we're helping her do that. So he brought up a good point. He said, listen, you have to start acknowledging that we live in times where facts don't matter. You know, once your base is there, your base is there. They're not going to go anywhere. So she's basically pacing and leading her base. She's a Bernie Sanders mini-me. And we have to be careful with her, because she's very persuasive.
Yeah, it's that whole socialist platform. Which the scary thing is, Bernie showed up here in Michigan and went with Abdul El-Sayed. And I don't know how much you've followed him. But
yeah.
3,000 people, young people, showed up in Grand Rapids. Conservative. That's a very conservative part of our state. 3,000 people showed up for Abdul El-Sayed because Bernie backed them. They're the Bernie kids, right? The socialist lovers who are so stupid they don't realize that Bernie sold them out a long time ago with his three mansions and his $200,000 sports car. I'm like, Bernie, you look stupid as all get out driving around in that Maserati or whatever the heck it is. You know, get yourself a Cadillac, Bernie, at least.
But it goes. I just said, Gary, that we live in a time where facts don't matter. People are so swayed by certain things. I'm not going to say that one issue voters and stuff like that, but like, for instance, I love when people come on Twitter and says, "Oh, you're Puerto Rican and you're supporting Trump." I'm like, because I know what goes on in Puerto Rico. There's more corruption in Puerto Rico than in the United States combined.
Yeah, didn't they just, the lady that was on, that kind of got herself famous, was she the mayor who was bagging on Trump? Didn't she just get indicted for something?
She just got, last time I heard, she was under investigation by the FBI. She hasn't gotten indicted yet for hiding supplies during a hurricane.
Democrat. Nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Chris, update me. You and I haven't talked in a long time. So what's going on? You're not podcasting anymore?
I have so many businesses on the side that I just didn't have the time to do it. It is my passion, but, you know, I have to pay the bills one way or another.
Yeah, well, so, brother, you're always welcome to call into here. We're 1 hour a week. You're always welcome to call in, man. I love your thought process, and give us your Twitter handle, because I want people to follow you.
Okay, my Twitter handle is
ThePatriot293. 293, the Patriot 293. So make sure you follow Chris. He's one of the first guys I met on Twitter. Great guy, great patriot, and a fireman in New York, as well as all the businesses you do on the side. So we love you, brother, and say hi to your wife.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Take care, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and so if you got other comments you want to make about the election, we're going to go into the bottom of the hour here and talk about some other things. But let's hit on John James next. If you've got thoughts about John James, whether you voted for him or whether you voted for Sandy Pensler, I'd like you to call in. I went into the booth not knowing. I loved John James, A, because he's a veteran, B, because he's a successful businessman, and C, because he is African-American, he has the ability to take the 30% or so out of Wayne County votes that are really necessary to win the state of Michigan in a statewide election. And I think John James has that ability. And he's just a smart, calm, measured guy. He thinks his thinking process is good. And that's great. He doesn't have the deep pockets that Sandy Pensler had, which was kind of why I was looking at Sandy Pensler. He had deep pockets to go up against Stabenow, and it's going to take money. And as we discussed earlier on previously, you have to have money in this state. You really do. I mean, that's what really kept Pat Kolbeck from getting out there. He needed more money to do the advertising that you need. So you got to make sure that you have all those things. So get out there and support John James, folks. You need to do that grassroots, but send him some cash so he can advertise, because that's going to be important. But also reach out to him. Now, I got a strange call text the other day, and I reached out to Bob Carr. Bob Carr was one of the guys running for U.S. Senate, and didn't – long story. We'll let him explain it one of these days. Long story, he didn't get his signatures in on time. There were some issues with the companies that do that. And but Bob had really gone out grassroots and locked up the farm vote in the state of Michigan, and the farm vote is important for this reason. Most farmers are conservative, a little more on the Republican side, and most farmers over the last three or four senatorial terms have gone for Debbie Stabenow. Debbie sits on one of the ag committees in Washington, D.C., and of course, that means something to our farming community. And so our farmers have, despite the big picture and despite the long-term problems with it, have voted and supported Debbie Stabenow. And we need to make sure, and I'm talking to you farmers right now, doggone it, do not vote for Debbie Stabenow this time around. Follow James or Bob Carr's lead and vote for John James this time around. You know, give him a little time. We can get him on the Ag Committee if that's what you're looking for. But we need that help from the farmers this year. So I reached out to the John James campaign via email, phone, Twitter, and Facebook, and left them a message to get hold of Bob Carr, and left Bob Carr's number. So if there's anyone out there who knows anyone in the John James campaign, please, for the love of Pete, get hold of Bob Carr. Bob Carr can help not only there in the farm community, he can also help in some of the inner cities, because he's done the soup kitchen thing in Benton Harbor. He's done some work down in Detroit. He's been to some of these cities, the inner cities, and has some support there, believe it or not. So Bob Carr can really help out the John James campaign, and I'm hoping the Pensler campaign will help out, maybe financially, if nothing else. Get John James. We need to get him elected. This is like a super, super important election. We have to get the president some help, or we're not going to end up with all the things that should be done with a four-year term of Donald Trump. So make sure you're out there working it this year. And it's up to us, each and every one of us. Get yourself out on Facebook. Get yourself out on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and do a little bit of a campaigning, folks. You wouldn't believe how many people. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You may be setting yourself up to get some friends and some other people angry at you, but just be calm about it. Don't get crazy. I this week had to finally block a guy that I considered a friend, and over the months it got kind of worse and worse, and eventually I had to literally block this guy, which I rarely do. I rarely block anybody, but when somebody gets so disgustingly personal, it's time to let them go. And that's what's good about social media. You can block people if you have to. If you're on Twitter, you're going to get blocked by Twitter anyways, because they're always out there keeping conservatives from doing what they're doing. Derek, are you on Twitter? All right, well, for the show, right? For the sports show.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so do you ever have any issues? Do you put any politics on there, or do you stick strictly with your sports?
Sometimes I put a political message on there if it's somebody associated with the radio station. Like Pat Kolbeck, I congratulated him for a successful campaign. But, yeah, I haven't had any problems with censorship.
Okay, so and did you ever get any blowback from anybody?
No.
Okay, well, then you're lucky, man. Me, I get a lot of blowback, but that's because I'm out there pushing the envelope, right? Okay, well, we'll see you at the other side of the break.
always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Veyrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Security's heavy in Charlottesville, Virginia today as demonstrators mark the one-year anniversary of protests that turned deadly.
City authorities say this is all taken out of an abundance of caution and lessons hard learned. You'll recall last year, police stood idly by as violence broke out. It was that failure which resulted in the death of Heather Heyer.
Fox's Doug McElway in Charlottesville. The FBI is leading the investigation into Friday's passenger plane crash in Seattle.
I think you all know that this is a stolen aircraft, a criminal act, and so NTSB's role is supporting. We're not actually controlling the investigation.
Deborah Eckroats, regional chief of the NTSB's Western Pacific region, an airline employee stole the propeller-driven plane and flew it for 90 minutes before it slammed into a small island in Puget Sound. The suicidal suspect's ID still unknown. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
Are you ready? That's not Monday Night Football. I'm asking, are you secure as secure can be? Do you have your gold and silver investment hedge in place against a falling or even worthless dollar? Not that that's a bad angle to play, but are you really ready with Boy Scout level common sense preparedness? A can of peaches with a pull top goes a long way further than a bar of gold in a truly unsecure environment. And if it all really crumbles away, hits the fan with hurricane force, all the gold or silver in the world will just be another weight to carry. Or defend with your dwindling self-defense resources. When they say never forget, have you linked Katrina and the Gulf Coast into that post 9/11 be prepared mindset? How about Rodney King riots in Los Angeles? Didn't take long for things to go bad there. Happened almost instantly. Take a look around your house and ask yourself, what if? Do the homework. It doesn't take much to hedge against 6 months of hard luck. You owe it to your family to do this. And that's just the minimalist scenario. When the electricity's been out for 4 months, you haven't seen a cop in three, you'll be glad you took a little time to be prepared. Your family will, too.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, what can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you. And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Welcome back to The Drift. Thanks for tuning in and catching it. That was my song, Derek. I picked that for Gretchen Whitmer, her and her Marxist ways, right? Let's just call her out what she is, socialist, Marxist, whatever. She's not the woman for us. But anyways, I digress. I've been waiting to use that term. Let's take care of business. If you're looking for something to do tonight, check out Burroughs Roadhouse out in West Brighton, 5311 Brighton Road. You can call them at 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. Or go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. That's Burroughs, Burroughs-roadhouse.com. And make a reservation because they do get busy. The food is great. The drinks are great. They do a Sunday brunch, which is awesome. And there's coupons in the current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T-online.com. $15 off any four-dinner entree or 15% off the Sunday brunch. They do a burger and a brew for $6 on Mondays. And Wednesdays is ladies' night and pizza night. What could be better than ladies' night and pizza night on the same night? So 810-227-6000. Tell them you read it in the current or heard it here at the Drift Radio Show. Okay, so we had a quick call coming in from Mike, and Gregory wants to talk about John James. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Doing my research between Pensler and John James, I, of course, was a Pensler supporter, but thanks to Pensler's website, it connected John James to Jesse Jackson and his Rainbow Push Coalition. And over the years, him and his organization, the Rainbow Group, have been going after the large corporations to get minority businesses contracts to do business with, like the auto industry.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought it would be a wonderful idea since John James was associated with Jesse Jackson in that organization to get him to come in and do a little campaigning for him during the up-and-coming senatorial election. And
yeah, well,
I kind of thought it would be a great deal because it'd be a thorn in Debbie Stabenow's side and we'd see where Jesse Jackson really does stand on issues.
Yeah, now that is great out of the box thinking, Mike. And it's that kind of make sure you get that information, email it, whatever. You can go to the John James website and make that suggestion because that is a wonderful suggestion. You know, and that was one of the things that tore me between Pensler and James. I was like, are we being sandbagged by John James? But let's look at the facts. Jesse Jackson and Donald Trump at one time were friends, right? Jesse Jackson used to say wonderful things about Donald Trump. Sure. And it wasn't until he ran for president as a Republican that all of a sudden Jesse James and George Lopez and the rest of these guys all of a sudden hate Donald Trump. So, you got to take that big picture approach to it. And you know what? The veteran part for me, I love our veterans. I never served myself, and it's the one regret I have in my life. I would love to see more of our veterans get involved in politics and spend the time and effort there because I think they're due and they're owed that respect from us. And I think the discipline that you learn in the military is a very important thing. So, but that's a great idea. You know, bring in Jesse Jackson if it'll help get John James elected in the urban areas of Detroit and Flint and Saginaw and that sort of thing. So that's great thinking, sure. Mike. Anything else?
Yep. Nope, that's all I wanted to say. Just, make room for the other callers and appreciate it and enjoy your show.
Well, thanks, Mike. You show that we have some of the smartest listeners on the planet. I appreciate it, man. Call in again.
Yeah, okay.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Let's take a call from Alex in Plymouth. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. I heard your little bit of discussion about Puerto Rico and the rampant,
corruption?
Inability to provide for their own citizens.
Yep. And so I see you sent me the link, too. So I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
And you're right. So here again, 10 containers of food and medical supplies left rotting in a Puerto Rico elections building parking lot, right?
Absolutely. The local radio station posted a video of the stuff just left rotting with rat droppings on it, and basically it's unusable now. And and the mayor of San Juan and a lot of the Democratic officials in Puerto Rico were hammering Trump because supposedly he didn't give them enough aid. Well, the aid was there. It was their inability to distribute the aid that is causing and has caused real problems.
Yeah, and isn't that amazing? Because how difficult is it to distribute that stuff? If worst case scenario, open the doors and tell people
it's there.
Get in line and grab it and take it. You know, if worst case scenario, give it to whatever mob is there. And let them distribute it, and maybe they'll make money on it, whatever. But at least it's out there and not rotting. You know what I mean?
It's another waste of tax dollars and resources, and it pains me to see it happening to people in Puerto Rico because they needed the help, and to mismanage it like that, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, if folks, we've got Alex Wassel online, who sometimes sits in when I'm not here, and we always appreciate, Alex, that you come in and work with Ed when I'm gone, and I really do appreciate it, and I want you to come back in again, even when I am here, because we love working with you. But so before we leave the election campaign, how did you feel about the John James, the governor's race? Where are you sitting with this?
Well, all the candidates I voted for won, with the exception of Colbeck. But
yeah, me too.
You know, I could live with the results. I think I've got to stress what you stress, that it's important that Republicans get together, start organizing now, and win in November, because any Democrat is going to be head and shoulders worse than any Republican that we may or may not totally agree with their agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the time. I mean, you vote your conscience in the primary. And I said this last time around in 2016, in 2012, in 2010. Vote your conscience in the primary, whatever you do. But after that, you have to get on board with supporting the guy that can best, or gal, who can best beat out the Democrats, be they a man or a woman. And in the Senate race, it comes to Debbie Stabenow. She's been there too long. She's ineffective. She has done absolutely nothing. I noticed the other day, she actually voted against help for the veterans following Chuck Schumer over the last few years. And all of a sudden now she's trying to put stuff out like she's helping veterans. And John James called her out on it and asking her to a debate. And I hope that happens. I don't see Debbie Stabenow agreeing to a debate at all. I really don't. I think she knows she's got a lousy record. I know that she's going to only hurt herself by going to a debate. So I'm going to bet she'll throw up every roadblock in the world to a debate.
Well, I think all the rank and file activists in the Republican ranks will get out and do their best, and we need to do our best to defeat the Democratic Marxist candidates around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Alex,
all right.
Make sure you come in and see us again, and thanks for sending that update on the containers in Puerto Rico that got left rot
okay.
by the Democrats. That was a great call, my man.
Well, I want to just say thank you, and I'll let the other people talk.
All right. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Take
bye
care.
Now.
Bye-bye. Let's take a, we got another call, but I don't know who it is yet. It's Chris from Ann Arbor, wants to talk about the Michigan primary. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I want to talk about Patrick Colbeck. I was a supporter. I got the signs. I put them up. I put them at my neighbors that would have them. And I was looking for a better turnout. But here's what I want to propose to you for you to consider. I say Patrick Colbeck did not get 14%. He got 25%. And let me tell you why I say that. That guy from that doctor from Saginaw that came in late in the race and presented himself as a Republican, as a devout Christian, as someone who gave charitable care and aid over in Africa and all that.
Jim Hines, you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, that's it. I think he's just a spoiler. I think they ought to look and see if he really is a Republican and if he's a conservative or liberal or what, but that doesn't matter. What I'm saying is anybody in politics knows to put two devout Christian, right-wing conservatives on, they're just going to take half the vote from each other. So that's why I say Patrick Colbeck, as the only devout Christian conservative Republican, would have got his 14 and Hines' 11, makes 25. Now, wait a minute. That's 1 point better than the sitting Lieutenant Governor Calley got. If Colbeck had run unopposed by another conservative Christian, and he got 25, he would have got 1.1% more than Calley. It would have positioned Colbeck for the next election to be a serious contender for
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
He would have got the second highest vote after Schuette, and that would make him big stuff. So I say, you can mention this to Theron, if you could.
Yeah.
Look into this Hines guy.
Yeah.
Is he actually a Republican for how long? Is he a liberal? Is he a conservative? What is up with this guy? Because you'd have to be out of your mind coming from Saginaw to think you're going to get to be governor. Nobody knows you. You got no history in politics.
But oddly enough, he had money, because I saw some of his ads on Fox News.
Well,
right?
Sure, that can happen with being a doctor. We all know that.
Yeah.
But Colbeck is a state senator. I mean, he's sitting there in the legislature. He's got experience. He's got a whole career behind him as a rocket scientist. He's an engineer. He can do the job. This guy comes around from nowhere, basically, doesn't have a clue, and jumps in. The only thing you know about him, he's Republican, and he's a Christian, and he does charitable work. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
So,
well,
bang, the vote goes in half. So I say Patrick Colbeck got 25%, and I want someone to prove me wrong.
Right. Oh, well, that's an interesting thought, because you know who kind of did that on the Democrat side was Sri Tanadar, right? So I'm thinking that Syed campaign is a little miffed about Sri coming in, because there's some people thinking that Sri was not really a Democrat either, because he'd been seen at Republican gatherings and other things. So there could be spoilers going on. And for the Republicans, I'm never happy with the Michigan Republican Party. I think these elitists, these establishment guys, never take a good, clear look at what's best for the people of the state. I think they look at a more lobbyist-centered approach, and they don't look at it, because they didn't give any support at all to Patrick Colbeck, who was the most conservative candidate, the guy with the best plans. And even when Pat was just state senator there, when he had plans and wanted to bring him forward, the establishment always shut Pat down, took him off of committees, did everything they could to make it hard for Pat. And that was wrong. Here's the smartest guy with the best ideas, and he's being shut down by the establishment GOP, and I don't like it. And I want people to think long and hard. When it comes to funding the Michigan GOP, you look at your candidates, pick the candidates that you think are good, and fund them. Keep the money away from the establishment GOP, because they're giving it to the people they choose, and they're not letting the best people win. That's my thoughts.
I think you're right on that, and I wish the best for Patrick Colbeck. I hope Schuette opens up a little space for him to step forward. If he had any brains, he would. And I want people to just start thinking Colbeck got 25%. And he beat the sitting lieutenant governor, and he is in contention for the next big election in Michigan politics.
Yeah. Great thoughts, Chris. Great thoughts. All right. Okay. Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Derek, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on to the DOJ and the FBI before the end of the show. We'll see you all on the other side of the break. This is The Drift.
Hello, WHAM listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on WHAM Talk 1600. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
It's time to tee off.
I just want to celebrate another day of living.
The 5th annual Firekeepers Casino Hotel Golf Championship returns to the beautiful Battle Creek Country Club Friday, August 17th through Sunday, August 19th. This red-hot stop on the Symetra Tour, the road to the LPGA, features over 150 future female superstars of golf competing for $100,000 in prizes and the Pottawatomie Cup. It's a spectacular golf event that's fun for the whole family. Tickets are free and available with any donation. Proceeds benefit the Haven of Rest, an organization that assists Battle Creek's homeless. Don't miss the 5th annual Firekeepers Casino Hotel Golf Championship, August 17th through the 19th. Time to get your Vegas on.
I just want to celebrate.
Visit FirekeepersCasino.com for details. Management reserves all rights.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at the Wham Talk 1600. You can call into the show, 734-822-1600, and talk about anything that you want to talk about. Love to have you. Dalton Environmental Cleaning. Get your air ducts cleaned. Fall is coming, and pretty soon that furnace will be running, not your air conditioner. 1-877-DALTONS. That's 1-877-DALTONS. Or you can go to DaltonEnvironmentalCleaning.com. Get your air ducts cleaned, because there's a lot of residue in there, from dog hair to pollen to just plain old dust. Make sure you get that out and improve your health. There's a $25 antimicrobial treatment coupon in the current, CourantOnline.com. You can catch it there, print it off, and go with it. And I want to make mention, fall is almost here, so September is right around the corner. The Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310 in Ann Arbor is doing their annual pig roast September 9th from noon to 4, and it's at 3230 South Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. Don Miller, our buddy and longtime listener, sends this in to us every year, and they have all kinds of things going on. Ticket prices for adults are $10, ages 6 to 12, $5, and under six free tickets will be available at the gate, I guess. So there's going to be a lot of activities there, and of course, the food is always good. The annual pig roast, you can reach them at 734-844-2819. That's 734-866-2819. At least that's what I can see with my eyes being as bad as they are. So I wanted to touch on what's going on with the DOJ and the FBI and the corruption that seems to be running so rampant. And now all of a sudden the dam is beginning to get those cracks and the leaks are coming out. Bruce Ohr was supposed to originally be testifying way back in December of last year, and it got put off and hidden and everything else as the FBI and the DOJ drags their feet. Well, on August 28th, Bruce Ohr, who works for the DOJ, is now going to be testifying. It's going to be a closed hearing. At least the first one will be a closed hearing. This, according to Representative Mark Meadows. Orr will be ready to testify to the same joint committee that previously heard testimony from Lisa Page. And here's what's very important. Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie Orr, is one of those people that works for the Fusion, GPS Fusion people, who were being paid by the Hillary campaign. So does it sound dirty? You bet your bottom dollar it's dirty. And we've got a nice track here. It's a little long, but it's Representative Devin Nunes talking to Hannity in an interview. And I want you to hear this. Pay attention, because this is what's going to be important as they interview Bruce Ohr coming up. Derek, you got track ready? Okay, let's go.
Really where we're at, a lot of people ask, well, what's left? We still have information that we need from the Department of Justice. However, I will say, as of tonight, we are getting closer and closer to having the information that we need.
Tell us why.
One of the big issues that they have provided, they have allowed, all the issues that were in our subpoena, they have now either we've been able to review, our investigators have been able to review, or they have been delivered to the committee in one form or fashion or another. So let's put that aside. There's still more that has to be done, and we're, of course, months and months late. So where are we? We talked about this last week. We have at least 20 pages of the FISA the FISA warrant that went after Carter Page. We have about 20 pages that the House Republicans have asked several months ago for the president and his office to declassify. We need that declassified. Senator Grassley, secondly, ask for the Bruce Ohr 302s. Bruce Ohr is going to become more and more important in this investigation.
Explain a 302, and were they altered? Explain a 302, which is an official report. Were they altered?
So the FBI interviewed Bruce Ohr at least a dozen times and put together reports. So once they fired Steele, which at that point they should have not been meeting with him anymore, but what they had is they had Bruce Ohr, whose wife Nellie Ohr was working for Fusion GPS, was going to meet and still get the information from Christopher Steele as they were trying to verify this unverified dossier, or the Clinton dirt that was used to get the FISA warrant. So That's number two. Number three, there is exculpatory evidence that we have seen of classified documents that need to be declassified. These were not, when I say exculpatory
in nature, in what way? I don't mean to press you. Exculpatory in what way?
In that the Carter Page FISA, when the judges should have been presented with this exculpatory evidence that the FBI and DOJ had. So those are the three areas that we have left in terms of what we need declassified.
Okay. So that declassification needs that. And you know what? If you're on social media, you need to get on Twitter, you need to get on Facebook, and tell the president, declassify it. Because the reason the FBI and Jeff Sessions, they know there's dirt there. They don't want to go ahead and do these indictments and make these calls publicly because they feel and they know that the media is going to make a big hubbub about it and try and spin it in a way that makes the Trump administration look dirty. If you let that FISA information out, let the rest of us see it, not just the committee, not just the 500-odd members of Congress, let us all see it. Put it out there. Let us, the American people, see what went on, because it's as dirty as it gets, folks. This is dirt. Don't let the media try and make it sound like, oh, it's Donald Trump obstructing justice. There's no obstruction of justice here. This is dirty, dirty, dirty. This is the Democrats paying people to stir up fake dossiers and dirt on Donald Trump and give it to the FBI and make it look like there's something there that doesn't really exist. The FBI was paying Christopher Steele for that dossier to come up with fabricated information and then make these FISA warrants available to the... They were lying. Lying and obstructing on their own. That's the obstruction of justice here, folks. Don't let the media do what it's doing to you. You talk about being woke. Rosie O'Donnell wants to talk about being woke. Folks, we're the ones that are woke now. Do not let the media, the Democrats, the liberals, the never Trumpers try to make it and turn the tables on you, because it's wrong. This is dirty, and it's coming out, and it will come out, and you're going to see it. And we need, in November, to cut loose the rest of the Democrats who are causing this obstruction of justice. We're not getting the 60 votes we need. Here's another little tidbit for it, and the media wanted to spin this away. Devin Nunes was caught on tape talking to people about why the Senate is not looking forward to impeaching Rod Rosenstein at this time, who should be impeached. He's been asked for documentation, and he's not getting it. Why are you taking the people's representatives and not giving them the information they're asking for? They're the ones in charge, Mr. Rosenstein, not you. So he's about to be impeached, but there's a reason he's not. Because the Senate wants to take care of the SCOTUS appointment first. And once Kavanaugh's in, you watch and see how quickly that impeachment's coming down. Your name is up there, Mr. Rosenstein. It's coming. And orange is coming for you, sir. Okay, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Beware, get out there and campaign for your Republicans this fall. Take care, folks.